Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We are very happy to welcome here Damon Ratto and Joe Shasky this afternoon. Marcus Semien of the Oakland A's, shortstop, had a monster year last year. Marcus, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How you guys doing?
We're doing very well. You jumped in and called in right when we were in the middle of a conversation about youth sports. Ian Desmond's Instagram post the other day didn't just take a flamethrower to Major League Baseball, but talked about how at the youth level there was a problem. And, you know, you are a product of Bay Area youth sports. When you look at it now, how much different is it than when you were a kid?
Well, yeah, I think what Ian said is exactly right. And I think he grew up in Florida, but growing up here in the Bay Area, when I was young, it was youth baseball, whether it be Little League or Pony. I played Pony baseball in El Cerrito. And once you get to about 12 or 13, then these kids are faced with the decision. Do I play Pony ball, which is 13, 14, which is decent competition, or do I play travel ball, which is the best competition? And that's going to cost you a lot of money. So that's where it's always been a problem. It's just now the prices for that travel ball have tripled since I was younger.
It's really something else. There's no doubt. Go ahead, Ray. We'll get to Major League Baseball in a second here, but this is interesting.
The fact that technically this falls outside Major League Baseball's purview, do you get the sense that MLB is just throwing up their hands about this part of the baseball problem, or does this require that maybe Major League Baseball start sponsoring leagues across the country so that it's not a price point? You don't have to come up with $3,500 before practice one. Is there a sense that you have that anybody other than individual players are trying to make this better?
Well, it's complicated because there's so many kids out there, and of course, I'm sure MLB wants to help. It's just logistically trying to figure out the most, I guess, efficient way to do it. And I think that it would be up to the ball clubs in the area. And that, there's most, we have two teams in here in the Bay Area. They do, they do a great job in the community. But when you look at specifically competitive baseball for young kids, and you look at the fields we may have, in the city of Oakland, there's not enough facilities, I think. And even in El Cerrito, Richmond, it takes a village. I think it takes more coaching, better coaching, whether that's MLB or the Oakland A's having a coaching clinic, or you have to start from the ground up. So it's not as easy as just throwing money at a community or a baseball program or initiative. It starts with the coaches and, from the ground up, I think.
Marcus Semien of the Oakland A's joining us here on 95.7 The Game. So you guys officially report for your first workout on Saturday. How are you preparing for this? What have you been doing in the oddest, longest spring training of all time?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, I set up a weight room in my garage. The A's were nice enough to let me borrow some of the weights and stuff, so I did that. And I've been hitting driving out to Livermore and San Ramon to hit, because I have some buddies who have some cages for me. Places that may not have been open to the public, but they were nice enough to let me hit. And then just, throwing as much as I can. Some of the pitchers have come into town early since, I'm the only one who lives in the area. Piscotty lives in Danville. I live here closer to Oakland. So, just playing catch at a local park, and it's been fun to see, young kids come around and notice us and say hi to us, and they get to watch some big leaguers play catch.
That is cool.
Is there a have you gotten a sense from other players about how comfortable they are health-wise about resuming this under the plan they've got? Or are you starting to look at some places where the virus is spiking and starting to wonder if anybody can make this work safely?
Yeah, I think guys, for the most part, our A's team has been pretty healthy. I mean, we'll find out here in a couple of days when we do our intake testing, what's the state of the team. But for the most part, everybody's been healthy and following the CDC guidelines, and that's what we're going to have to continue to do to keep this thing rolling. And when I say following the CDC guidelines, I mean off the field. You kind of have to be extra cautious when we leave the ballpark, because all the protocols seem pretty safe in the ballpark. The testing, we're hoping to get results as quick as we can, just so we know, if we're taking a test every day or every other day, you want to get the results ASAP so you know that you're safe. But either way, we're wearing masks in the clubhouse. When you play the game of baseball, there's rules now of no licking your fingers, no spitting, no chewing seeds, stuff that, usually germs can be flying in the air because of. So I think it'll be safe, but there's always going to be that risk.
Are you a seeds guy, Marcus? You're going to have trouble with the seeds protocol?
I'm a gum guy. I think there's no rule against gum. I'll just have to throw it in the trash and be courteous, but whenever
no
I
blowing,
don't have
no
gum,
blowing bubbles, no blowing bubbles.
Yeah,
no. That...
Yeah, we'll see how they enforce that. But some of this stuff you're so used to doing. And for me, I've been playing pro ball for 9-10 years. There's just bad habits that during this time you're gonna have to break. And I'm willing to do it. I think all of us are willing to do our part. We all want to compete for a World Series and earn salary, so that's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah, I want to go back to the question I had a minute ago. I wasn't really talking about whether the A's as players were minding the protocol. I was talking about sort of the states around everybody, like Florida, like Arizona, like Texas, like Georgia, well, like California. The question I have is, are players comfortable that the states in which they will be playing and traveling to and from are going to be able to keep you safe no matter how hard you try to remain safe?
Yeah, that's going to be something we're going to have to keep a close eye on in the next 3 to 4 weeks, because right now, I think right now it's a little scary because everybody's traveling into the home cities and the virus is surging in. You look at California, Arizona, Florida, Texas. I'm sure there's more states that are struggling right now. But it seemed like it was about 3 months ago that it was the Californias and New Yorks and the highly populated areas. But you're seeing some states where it's more rural states. But either way, the states that we're playing in, I hope that the curve flattens in those areas once our season starts, when we do start traveling in. But in terms of home cities, some teams are more vulnerable than others right now.
Marcus Semien of the Oakland A's, when you see a 60-game schedule laying before you, obviously a fast start would be great. A slow start could be fatal for a team like the A's, an incredibly interesting mixture of young and even younger talent. Does a 60-game sprint benefit you, hurt you? How do you think you guys stack up against such an odd schedule?
Well, we've got a we got a tough division. We got two of the top teams in the league with the Dodgers and Astros. And I'd like to put us up there. There's also some teams that are pretty scary. Look at Texas's new rotation. Look at the Angels' new lineup. Even Arizona, I think they've got a good team too. It's going to be competitive, and you're probably going to see some teams get hot that you wouldn't expect to be in the race. But we've had some great stretches of 60 games, and they were, around this time of the calendar year. No matter, how long the season is, we know that we have the pitching now to compete. The last two seasons we've won 97 games, we've had slow starts because we didn't necessarily put the best rotation out there that we could have. We had some younger guys that, we ended up having to go get pitching at the deadline. And I feel like we have the staff now that, we've had in the second half of the last 2 years.
The last couple of years you have had your burst in the second half. And I presume your feeling and your team's feeling is that it's really the time of year when you show your best rather than the number on the schedule. But in a situation where everybody has to start fast or get buried, does that make those early games more pressurized? Because while you can't get into the playoffs at the start, you can get knocked out of the playoffs at the start.
Yeah, I think that, I think it was last spring, maybe 2019 spring training, we had Ricky Henderson and Dave Stewart speak in front of our team. And these guys won a world championship with Oakland. And their message to us was that these games in April mean just as much as the games in September. So just listening to them, obviously we got out to a slow start. We still got out to a slow start, but these guys are exactly right. And I think that winning early builds confidence. We started winning in, June, July, the last 2 years, and we got that confidence, and we were unstoppable in August and September. So we're just trying to build off of last year. I know this pandemic, took a little bit of momentum away from us, but it'd be nice to get back out there on the field and scrimmage against each other and face some live pitching, and hopefully the transition is smooth.
Born in San Francisco, raised in the East Bay, played college ball at Cal. Marcus Semien, a shortstop, here with us on 95.7 The Game. Monster year for you. I mean, career high everywhere you look, every category that matters, brought you to third place finish in MVP voting. Congratulations. How do you pick up where you left off? And were you doing anything that you thought different last year? Or did, as they say, the game finally come to you?
Well, there were some adjustments I made, in 2019 spring. Just try to get into my legs a little bit more in my batting stance. So a little bit lower crouch. If you look at my batting stance over the last 6 years, you can see the evolution. And I think I found something that works for me right now. I switched to a half an inch shorter bat, something I could handle a little bit better. And I really revamped my entire routine in the cage and in the video room. So just utilizing some of the data that we have available to us and knowing how to process it and use it in the game. To where before I'd just go out there and try and figure it out. And what I realized is these pitchers in the major leagues are too good to just go in there and, get a feel for it. You almost have to know them like the back of your hand before the game starts just to have a fighting chance. So,
or at least have someone banging a trash can, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So that's when you hear, that stuff that went on, it makes people really mad because, for me, I work extremely hard to, do my homework, research what this guy's percentages are in every count even. There's so much data out there that you just need to sift through. Then when you get out there in the game, you know what you're facing. So I really learned how to do that stuff, and I'm looking forward to continuing that that process this year.
With every season being a matter of you adjusting to pitchers adjusting to you, the shortened season probably means that those adjustments have to come quicker. Does the fact that you've been in the game for several years now and had a breakout year last year make you think that your ability to adjust to pitchers is that much more acute, so that your adjustment time to whatever they decide to do to you is going to be shorter now than it would have been even as recently as last year?
Yeah, I think over the past 5 years with Oakland, definitely being an everyday guy, you start to get you start to understand the scouting report on yourself. The league is going to pretty much follow the same scouting report. Maybe some teams have their philosophies that they stick to, so you have to be able to decipher those. But either way, you still got to go out there and play ball. And for me, I just try and keep it simple, use all the information I have, but still work to my strengths as well. You don't want to rely so much on all that information and data that you forget to do what you've been working on all offseason and all pandemic, which is focusing on shrinking the zone and putting a good swing on the ball. So that those things are most important first.
I tell you, if the best ability is availability, man, that was among your greatest abilities last year. You missed only one game, and hopefully your health continues to and through this entire season. I got one kind of house cleaning question for you, because you play next to Matt Olson. How much different did that make your defensive responsibilities and comfortable? How much more comfortable did you get with a guy like Chapman next to you?
Yeah, Chapman's the best third baseman I've ever seen. So,
what I call him, Olson? I meant Chapman. Did I say Chapman?
No,
I think I said both.
You covered your tree. Yeah, you got every Matt in the roster.
First base and third base. How's that looking, Mark?
No, I knew what you meant. I think Chappie, when I say he's the best third baseman I've ever seen, I mean he has the best range, he has the best arm, he has the best glove work. Those are the three things you need. So he covers some ground over there, but I think we've worked together with our positioning to where I can shade up the middle a little bit more and take some hits away at the middle. And you can't beat him either way. So we've got the six hole covered. I'm looking forward to this year. And you did mention Matt Olson. He's the best first baseman in the game. So he can pick it. He can reach for anything. He can jump. He can, make plays on his side. He's got a quick transfer on the double play. So, it's been fun playing with those guys. Those guys are the two best in the game on the corners.
This has been a great conversation. We thank you for your time. I know your season begins with spring training 2.0 on Saturday over in Oakland. So much of the conversation we've had in the world has been about a pandemic, and so much of the conversation that we've had has been about race relations. Again, we've already mentioned Ian Desmond, Doug Glanville. He had an incredible story on ESPN about what comes after the comma, as he's being described. There's been an awful lot of talk about a lack of diversity in Major League, not just dugouts, but clubhouses and obviously in executive offices. What can be done to improve Black presences in the most important corners of baseball, in your mind?
Well, I think that it goes back to the conversation we had before, talking about what Ian Desmond was talking about. It starts at the youth level. I mean, I don't know that many Major League Baseball players who started playing baseball much later than age 10. I mean, that... There's a rare, there's a low amount of guys who started in like high school or something. So starts at a young age. I'm already throwing to my sons. They're 3 years old and 2 years old, and it's like, and they love it. So seems like most of the African American kids around the Bay Area like to play basketball or football more than baseball, and I think that's where we're gonna have to start, is to teach some of these kids the game at a younger age, because it's a skill-oriented game. But when you put a great athlete, put a bat in his hand, and you never know, how electric he might be. And that's, as a young kid, I'm glad my mom put the bat in my hand and gave me the opportunity to play, drove me to every game, put me around you know, people who helped me and taught me the right way. So it takes a village.
Did you ever have your three-year-old barrel you up, and did you brush him back on the next pitch?
Actually, yeah, he comes and hits with me. I told you I was driving out to Livermore and San Ramon. He's with me, so he gets his hacks. I'm already behind an L screen because he can hit a comebacker and get me. So he loves it. So it's been a blast. At least during the pandemic, you know, we're not able to earn any salary, but you get to spend as much time with your, you know, the most time you've ever spent with your family in the summer. So it's been nice.
Marcus, thanks for ending on such a positive note, man. We really appreciated this. This is an awesome conversation. Good luck to you and all of your teammates starting this Saturday. Thank you so much.
Hey, see you later.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.